So again, good morning and welcome to those who have joined with us online. And we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, encourage us in this time. Last week, Kate brought a challenging word addressing our sins of complaint whilst we experience periods in the wilderness. And the Hebrew people, they are on their way through the wilderness toward the edge of the promised land. And there are lots of little stories that are just wonderful little stories. And the story of Balaam and his donkeys is an interesting one and raises a few questions. For me, it raised questions. Does God give guidance and direction to his children only? Does God reveal his ways to us, but wouldn't necessarily give guidance, specific guidance, to those who don't follow him? Or does he direct unbelievers too? And how does God speak to us if and when we stray from his will? So what's the background to this quirky little story where God speaks to a prophet through his donkey? You know, Balaam, I think, could well be the original Shrek. Well, he has a talking donkey, Shrek, but so does Balaam. The Hebrew people, they're making their way from Mount Sinai, from the Sinai Peninsula at this point, up toward the Dead Sea, with the hope that they could go around the Dead Sea on the western side, but the king of Edom refuses their request to go through his land. And the people in Edom, they're a considerable number of people and they have quite an army. And so he refuses their request, so they therefore then trek to the east, avoiding Edom, and they move toward Moab. Now the king of Moab, Balak, he saw this huge multitude of people camped outside his kingdom and he feared their entry. And so he sent a delegation to Balaam for Balaam to come and place a curse on this people so that they might be able to defeat them or push them back or that they wouldn't come through the kingdom of Moab. In Numbers 22 verse 7 we read that this delegation that Balak sent to Balaam took with them the fee for divination. And so Balaam, he's not a Jew. He's not of Hebrew descent. He's not God's prophet. He's a man who dabbled in divination, who played around in the spiritual realm. He's a charlatan, a witch doctor, if you like. He was a man who had a reputation for those that he blessed were blessed, but those he cursed were cursed. He had that reputation. He sought to be led by any spirit that he could muster. And in doing so, he made his living. He asked for a fee. And this is vital information to understanding this story. Balaam is not a prophet of God. Balaam may well have heard of the God of the Hebrews and must have heard of the God of the Hebrews, as he calls upon God and God answers him and advises him not to go with this delegation back to King Balak and he's not to curse the Hebrew people but rather bless them. Verse 12, God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on these people because they are blessed." So even if he chose not to go with them, God also says, "Do not curse them." It's a clear statement, gives very clear instruction. And so God does speak, God does give specific instruction to those who don't know him as their God, but to those who seek him out. And Balaam understood God's instruction. There's no question about what God meant or what God intended, what God wanted. It's a story that reminds me a little bit about the story of Jonah. Jonah was told clearly to go to Nineveh. And like Balaam, Jonah doesn't get into trouble because he doesn't get good instruction from God. He gets into trouble because he doesn't follow those instructions. There wasn't a problem with misunderstanding. The problem was with obedience. And we're going to see that with Balaam. When God says, do it, then do it. If God says, don't do it, then don't do it. It's that simple. Yet we tend to try to push the issue or try to manipulate things so that we hear what we want to hear. And this always leads to error and disobedience. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:3, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." We want to justify our own wishes, and so we manipulate God's word to allow our hearts to be at some sense of peace. We don't like God's directions, and so we rationalize, we justify, we tolerate sin and disobedience. In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul, he asks for obedience. He says, set your hearts, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Because you have died to your old life and been raised with Christ, therefore put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Greed is worshipping an idol. Rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Paul's saying that this is our responsibility. If God says do it, then do it. And if God says don't do it, then don't do it. You put it to death, you rid yourselves. Clear advice requires decisive action. But King Balak, he won't take no for an answer. And so he sends a second delegation to Balaam, this time with the lure of even greater cash rewards. And so a second time Balaam seeks God, and this time God tells him to go with them. And so God gives directions a second time to a man who is not a faithful believer in him. God gives him specific directions. And this time it appears that God has changed his mind. First he says, don't go. And now he says, go. You see, Balaam's initial response was one of obedience. However, instead of sticking to what God had already said, letting his no mean no, he goes back to God and he asks God a second time. But remember, he's already received clear instructions. But he goes back to God and asks him again. Why? The lure of even greater cash reward. And we don't know what Balaam says to God, but perhaps it was one of those arm-twisting kind of prayers where you act like you're interested in doing the right thing, but in reality, you've already made up your mind what you're going to do. I think you know the kind of prayer that I'm talking about. One of those prayers where you let God in on your plans and you let him know what you think is best for your life. You're trying to get God's will to line up with your will. And so God says to Balaam, okay, well, if you really want to go, then go. It seems that you've made a plan that doesn't involve listening to my previous advice. So if you want to go, off you go. And let's see what happens. Verse 21. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into the field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Well, this happens three times in different ways. And the third time, the donkey sits down and just refuses to get up. Verse 28. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You've made a fool of me." Well, that's pretty serious, isn't it? You've made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now. Donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you've always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "Oh, no. As a matter of fact, no," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with the sword drawn. And so he bowed low and fell face down. I think sometimes God will do what he does, in this case with Balaam. He does that with us. He'll stand in the road to oppose us. If he doesn't like the way we're handling things, if he doesn't like the direction we're going, the way we're pursuing for ourselves, he'll oppose us. He loves us so much that he tries to get us to turn around if we're going the wrong way. If he wants us to rethink if our approach is wrong, he opposes us. What a gracious God. He doesn't just abandon us when we disobey. He keeps trying to get through to us before we hurt ourselves or hurt somebody else. If you get out of the will of God, he won't let you go without putting up a couple of stop signs along the way. Stop signs in the road to try and get our attention. The problem is, if we're headed off and we're now into cruise control, there goes a stop sign. We don't even blink. Wonder, has God been placing a few stop signs in front of you lately? And often when God does that, if he's trying to get our attention, he does so through a repeated test. Remember Peter? His denial of Christ three times. With Balaam, the angel used a path that got narrower and narrower until it was impossible to pass. God often does that in our lives. When he sees us going the wrong way, he begins to apply pressure that just continues to increase the further we go. And the harder you hit the wall, the harder the wall hits you. You're seeing some stop signs? They could be warnings for your protection. You know, it'd be really wise to stop. Which is what Balaam does. He stops and he bows down. Verse 32. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me." In other words, you're trying to do what I've told you not to do. "The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would have certainly killed you by now. But I would have spared her." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I've sinned. I didn't realize that you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you're displeased, I will go back. And so Balaam stops, he humbles himself, and he bows down. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When Balaam realized that this was an angel of the Lord, he bowed low. He fell face down. Balaam has learned a lesson at the hands of a donkey that has greater spiritual insight than he. And I wonder if you ever felt like that. Learned a lesson at the hands of a donkey? Perhaps your child reminds you of a spiritual truth that you'd overlooked. Perhaps God has spoken to you through someone that you really didn't expect him to speak to you through. Do you accept God's word from the donkey? Or does pride rear its ugly head and you keep forging on regardless? Or do you listen to the donkey? In humility, Balaam then acknowledges his mistake. He says, "I have sinned." Balaam recognizes his sin. He confesses that he'd been wrong. He realized that he had abused the very thing that was standing in the way of his own destruction. He abuses the very thing that God had used to protect him. Perhaps there's someone in your life that you've treated harshly because they loved you enough to try and step in between you and the danger that you were heading for. When God turns you around, the first thing you should do is find that person and apologize for hurting them. Thank them for caring enough to say and do the right thing, even though it costs them. Conversely, or on the other side of that coin, maybe you felt like that donkey. You've seen a friend heading the wrong direction toward danger and you've tried to step in and stop them, but you end up getting hurt. You end up being the one that is abused. Again, forgiveness brings peace. The third thing that Balaam does is to determine that he'll not repeat this offence. He says, "I'll go back." Repentance isn't just a temporary step to the side, to the left or to the right. It's a permanent turning around and going back the way you came, going the opposite direction in attitude and obedience. With Jonah, this meant completing the task that he'd been given, go to Nineveh. For Balaam, it meant going home. What does it mean for you? Is there an area of your life that you've compromised, where God has said, do it, but you don't do it? Or is a sin that you rationalise, a disobedience that you tolerate or justify, where God has said, don't do it, but you do do it? What does repentance mean for you? Is there something I need to do? Or is there something I need to stop doing? So this story highlights our need for obedience, and it highlights the consequences of disobedience. This story also reveals the heart of God. The heart of God, our Father, who cares for all people, because he graciously gives Balaam, a non-Jew, an opportunity to come to him and to come under his grace and his forgiveness. Peter wrote, "The Lord is patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to come to repentance." The Lord wanted Balaam to come to repentance. God graciously deals with us and he prompts us to deal with our sin. He goes out of his way to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin. God's love is for all people, that none should perish. And in communion, we reflect on God's gracious heart, the heart of our Father, the heart of a Father who doesn't want any to perish. And we can be encouraged by that. He doesn't want anyone to perish. In communion, we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice to save us. We reflect on what it's cost God, what it cost Jesus. It cost the cross. And in communion, we also recommit ourselves to being faithful to him, to being obedient to him because of what he's done for us. And so we're going to take a moment now to share in communion. Just take that bread or biscuit, whatever you've brought with you, whatever you have at home. We're going to share in remembrance as we take this bread. Just reflect on Jesus. Reflect on his sacrifice. Reflect on him dying on the cross, his broken body, the depth of God's love for you, the wonder of God's gracious heart. Let's eat in remembrance of him. As you take the cup, again, whatever's in there, whether it be juice or water, we'll share in a moment. But we'll, in this time of communion, we also want to recommit ourselves to being faithful servants of his, being obedient to him. Let's just pray together and then we'll drink. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the bread as we've just taken that. Been reminded of his broken body on the cross. And as we take this juice now, we're reminded of his blood. That Jesus gave his life for us. And Father, we are so grateful that in this time of communion, we're also wanting to recommit ourselves to being faithful servants of yours, faithful children to you, faithfully obedient to you. Because of who you are and what you've done for us, it's the least we can do. And so we take now, we drink now, and we are so grateful. We thank you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together. And so you might wonder, what becomes of Balaam? We would hope that he turns fully to God. He has a healthy fear of the Lord, having been confronted by a sword-wielding angel. So much so that the angel says, go with them to King Balak, which he does. He goes to King Balak, and on four occasions he blesses Israel rather than curses them. And Balak is wild. He is so angry with Balaam, he sends him home. And so we would hope that Balaam has turned to the Lord. According to Numbers 31:16, and Revelation 2:14, at some point Balaam returns to King Balak and informs him how he can get the Hebrew people to curse themselves. And so, rather than curse them himself, here, King Balak, get them to do this and they will curse themselves by enticing them with prostitutes and with unclean food that was sacrificed to idols. This brings a plague upon the Hebrew people. And ultimately, Balaam's choice leads to his untimely death by the sword. According to 2 Peter 2:25, Balaam loved the wages of wickedness. And in the three New Testament references, he's remembered for all the wrong reasons. You see, Balaam doesn't repent. He looked for an escape clause to get what he wanted. He wanted more money. He looked for a way out, how to achieve his will, his desires. He couldn't resist the temptation, the pull of money and idolatry. He went against God's directions, willingly. And he received the consequences for his sin. He ultimately brought about his own earthly and eternal destruction. Wonder, is there a temptation that has you in its grip? Is there something that you're struggling with that to some degree you're willingly going back to it? If so, stop. Confess. Repent. You see, God allows us to reap from what we sow. And there are times when God allows us to go exactly the direction we want to go. And again, it was Paul who wrote, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit will receive eternal life." I trust that you're sowing to please the Holy Spirit, not sowing to please your flesh. May we be faithful children of God, turning away from our sin, living obediently before God our Father. If the Holy Spirit's been prompting you today, then listen. Listen to the Spirit. And be obedient. The Lord's trying to protect you. Let's close our time in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Balaam, for the way that you opposed his will. You gave advice and he rejected that advice. And Father, you give us clear directions. And Balaam's story reveals to us or shows us that there are consequences to our life choices. Father, we pray that we will be obedient children of yours, that we will listen to the prompting of your Holy Spirit, especially when you're opposing us and our will. Father, that we would listen and be obedient to you. Father, we do pray for those that we know who don't know you. And Lord, we thank you that you do answer those who call upon you. You do give clear direction. You do draw them by your Holy Spirit toward yourself. We're encouraged by that. Father, may you continue to draw those that we know who don't know you to yourself and ultimately into a relationship with you. But Father, we thank you for the ways that you are so gracious in the way that you deal with us, you work with us, you try to draw us back to yourself. Thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, we pray that we will be faithful servants of yours. As we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.